Welcome, everyone, to the AI in Business podcast. I'm Matthew DeMello, senior editor here at Emerge Technology Research. Today's guest on the program is Stephen Zhang, managing director at Deloitte Consulting. Stephen joins me on today's podcast to discuss AI's impact on life sciences IT workflows. He introduces this episode by offering a four-pillar framework for rapidly adopting generative AI for life sciences enterprises. He then explains the sector-specific talent needs of adoption teams, underscoring the responsible AI practices and executive buy-in tactics that lead to effective digital transformations in almost any industry. Today's episode is sponsored by Deloitte, and without further ado, here's our conversation. Stephen, thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
Glad to be here, Matt.
Absolutely. There's so much to dive into. It's a very broad topic in pulling apart the AI transformations that we're seeing take place, especially at this point of AI adoption, generative AI making a big splash within the last year. Obviously, this is a big initiative, especially for IT teams, and we'll get into that shortly. And we've, especially on this program, have covered so much in drug development and commercial and clinical trials, but I feel like it doesn't get that much attention. Maybe we could start, you work in this space up close and personal. AI is really becoming a part of the conversation throughout. What are the challenges, the trends in these areas, the overall situation that's making AI relevant for folks in IT in the life cycle?
Yeah, that's a great question, Matt. I think specifically knowing this show and this series for the life science industry, I think, and maybe just framing out the broader industry trends would be important. I think at a high level, obviously, drug pricing, economy and inflation, investment, innovation, and workforce and talent are the broader industry trends. But specifically for technology, I think there are three trends have been emerging. The first one being increasing implementation and integration of AI and Gen AI into the core business processes. Mm-hmm. A second macro trend is really around strengthening the technology foundation, such as infrastructure, data, applications, cybersecurity, and also workforce and talent. Because in the end of the day, without those technology foundations, you can't really harness the power of Gen AI or AI.
Yeah.
And the third major trend, which is a long stay trend, is going to be workforce and talent. Now, we have seen the rise of development or engineering experience, and also in this day and age, learning and development of continuously upskilling your workforce, obviously, it's going to be very important for you to leveraging Gen AI.
So, Stephen, especially in light of all of these trends, I think something that kind of gets lost in the discussion is we tend to ask the question, you know, what do you need on the infrastructure side to really prepare for generative AI? And that has a lot of assumptions built into it, right? Like in that it assumes usually organizations already started in AI. You kind of need to build generative AI from the first generation capabilities and machine learning and predictive analytics. You need that ground base there. But I'm wondering if you can provide us a framework that might work for a broader range of organizations, more no matter where they are in their AI adoption process, a better roadmap to understand where to go from zero to really leveraging these generative AI use cases effectively.
Yeah, really appreciate the question, Matt. I think there are four pillars as part of the framework in terms of rapidly adopting Gen AI and an AI for enterprise. The first one is really around establishing a ChatGPT-alike tool, but with the enterprise knowledge and security based in so that you can put Gen AI in the hands of all your employees. At Deloitte, we have Paradee and Sidekick had making the news, where we have hundreds of thousands of employees have started using Gen AI technology within Deloitte already. The second pillar is really around understanding the technology foundation I spoke about earlier. There are a lot of enterprise apps will be rolling on with Gen AI built in, regardless whether or not it's your ERP system, your CRM system, your commercial data warehouse, or your real-world evidence database. All these enterprise applications will come in with Gen AI blended in. It's really upon the IT leaders to figuring out what exactly is going to be the adoption and change management aspects of blending those capabilities into the existing ecosystem.
Yeah.
The third pillar in terms of adoption is to really thinking about establish a platform for rapid Gen AI innovation. Within Deloitte, we have a Gen AI studio where we have experimented different capabilities using Gen AI to the extent where we can create in PowerPoint slides, which are trademark for consultants, automatically using Gen AI technology. My thinking is maybe a couple of years later, it'll be my avatar sitting here talking to you on a podcast in terms of how fast the innovation has been going. And lastly, basically for the digital leaders, I think it's really applying Gen AI for IT, from understanding and leveraging the tools for converting design into code to generating code automatically, and also thinking about using Gen AI technology to enable the other steps in the software development lifecycle, such as creating test data, creating test cases, and also completing documentation. So these four pillars, I think, provides a good framework in terms of, regardless where your journey is in the life science enterprise, what are the key constituents as a leader you can think of adopting AI and Gen AI very rapidly within your organization.
I want to bring up a couple things you brought up in your last answer and talk about talent, that it's making its way to the ground floor, to everyday people. They're getting some familiarity with this. In terms of the IT talent, and also just the difference between generative AI as a technology versus the forms, or as I like to put it, the first generation capabilities of AI we saw, over the last decade, the more deterministic technologies, as they're called, machine learning, predictive analytics, optical character recognition, the IT talent that you needed to really drive those capabilities has to be different than the IT talent that you need to drive probabilistic technologies like generative AI, technologies that are guessing at the answer and need that human feedback to really verify what they're doing. So I'm wondering, especially for IT leaders, for larger management, how should they think about the human part of the infrastructure, and what's the difference between the talent they were getting or they should be looking for up until this point, and what will change as generative AI becomes more part of the conversation?
Yeah, Matt, that's an important question, and it's $1 million question to answer. I think, let me just break it down from like two perspectives. One, specifically from a talent standpoint, what we have observed within the industry and what we have been doing as part of Deloitte. But also the second part is how the talent also kind of interweave with the benefits and risks of adopting Gen AI. So first of all, from a talent perspective, you're 100% right that with the advent of Gen AI, there are new roles and new skill sets have been emerging, right? And a prompt engineer made headlines in terms of as a new profession that will garner a lot of interest across the industry. There are also existing roles all of a sudden finding them in higher demand. For example, a lot of the first generation of the Gen AI capability are being built in the form of application, where you will need actually a large team of application developer, as well as a DevOps engineer to making sure those applications can be scaled to the enterprise scale and satisfying the needs for not just the one department, but employees coming from globally. Right? Mm-hmm. And also there are existing roles now with new responsibilities. For example, you touched upon responsible AI, and we are seeing the responsible AI leaders within the life science organization now have to wrestle with the Gen AI aspects of the AI to making sure the solution is unbiased and having like the right security privacy baked in.
Yeah.
And also a lot of the, I would say, traditional NLP or natural language processing data scientists also finding themselves now have to really upscaling on Gen AI and being able to leveraging Gen AI for some of the natural language processing tasks they have been doing, right? But I think a lot of the times, an easy answer is, okay, I would just, figure out what is the learning and development program and then just upscaling my talent. We at Deloitte is approaching this slightly differently. We're thinking about this as a broader change management aspects. I think, you know, from a top-down perspective, we first generated a lot of awareness inside of the organization. For example, we have practice-level modernization passport program that making sure all the senior leaders are aware of what the technology has bring to bear and what we are doing across the firm using Gen AI. And secondly, from generating interests, we have been running spotlights and pop-up demos across, you know, virtual space as well as our offices to really excite the team in terms of what they can achieve by leveraging Gen AI. And from a third standpoint, we are also creating training curriculum to making sure we equip the broader, you know, staff and broader workforce with the knowledge on Gen AI. And we are also putting tools of Gen AI in employees' hands, like I mentioned, Sidekick and Parity. And lastly, we are also continuously reinforcing the message by using AI Academy as well as our AI Nerve Center to making sure we continuously educating the broader team, really being able to stay on the forefront of Gen AI technology. So that's, you know, what we are doing from a talent perspective.
So a really quick question just on responsible AI, because I definitely think in the advent of generative AI, this has moved from buzzword to a real tactical discipline that you see. But where we've had a lot of conversations with folks talking about responsible AI, and the more that we get into the practices that work and really prevent a lot of the scenarios that people can look up in the news, it's really more hiring the right data governance people and also having a management that's educated enough on data governance and the relationship to artificial intelligence development that they understand that if you're cutting corners in your data governance, it can lead to the kind of biases that lead to some headlines. So I'm just wondering, in terms of integrating, you know, talent that speaks to making real responsible AI a priority in the organization, where do you want to look in terms of the skills? Is it more data governance, or is it something a little bit more cultural within the organization?
I think it's a little bit of both, Matt. I think even in the age of Gen AI, the data you use to train those foundational large language models, as well as the data you enable Gen AI to ingest and then vectorize and eventually generating responses using proven design patterns such as generated response augmented generation, mm-hmm. It's really important. Without clean data for training as well as without clean data to really enable the retrieval augmented generation, the response you're getting from a Gen AI solution is going to be as bad, right?
Yeah.
But in addition to the focus on data quality and data governance, it is also important to focusing on helping the Gen AI model to be inbuilt with privacy, transparency, and making sure there is a way to enable the explainability and fairness and in terms of those large language models. I think that is a special type of resources and requires special type of framework to be able to connecting the dots with the data, but also as you're building the model, fine-tune the model, we're using retrieval augmented generation pattern to generating content. Along the entire pipeline, there is a clear understanding and the clarity in terms of the data flow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know in terms of life sciences and then on to the adjacent sectors like healthcare that, you know, really integrating human expert feedback, keeping experts in the loop is going to be hugely important. I know that's kind of underneath the surface of the responsible AI conversation because it's a little bit more in the model development area. It's kind of being considered as, especially as folks and organizations adopt generative AI, kind of the givens of what you need to do to really launch these tools effectively. But I'm wondering if you can touch on a bit in terms of the talent that you'll need to hire in IT to really prepare to keep those human experts in the loop and who needs to be at the table to emphasize what expertise needs to be in that loop to verify these answers, especially for the more client-facing solutions and models that I know that organizations ultimately want to get to in their generative AI goals.
Yeah, I think at the highest level within the organization, there need to be a leader that's really minding the broader adoption of the AI across the different disciplines. So an overall responsible AI lead is really essential to define the discipline as well as the framework for all the different utilization of AI to follow. I think that's the first role. The second role is really around, with so many different applications and so many different use cases adopting AI, to the point I made earlier, what is the value has been realized? How many people are really using those Gen AI infused applications or AI infused applications? So, you know, innovative companies are start thinking about establishing a role, really focusing on measuring the utilization as well as the value generated out of those Gen AI solutions. We call it like value tracking and a generative officer, right? And then the third role is really going to be around, you know, Gen AI and AI is such a fast moving field. All the company will need a scanning mechanism, if you will, to keep the pulse on what is the latest industry trends, what is the hyperscalers and a broader ecosystem vendors are innovating using Gen AI. So having a external innovation lead would be essential to kind of keeping the pulse of the market and then making sure you are not adopting or customizing the building certain technology that is already going to be rolling out by another vendor out of the box. So these are the three roles, Matt, I think it's going to be crucial for the company to consider.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you laying out, like, you know, the specific titles and skills that they need to hire for. I think that's really going to be clear for our audience. And that covers that side of the table in terms of, you know, those folks listening who are CIOs out there, how do they build this within their own organizations? The other half of the conversation you were talking about leadership before is how are you selling the rest of the C-suite, the rest of management on this? And this has been a conversation that has really taken a 180 even from when I first started here about a year and a half ago, but I think it's definitely a completely different color than even what it was half a decade ago, in that, you know, C-suiters, CEOs, leaders were skeptical about AI. They really hadn't known it in their own personal lives, so it was always an uphill battle to really sell this stuff. And now, especially in the advent of OpenAI, this really having a bigger moment in the culture, you know, CEOs, their kids are using it. I think there's still a lot of education out there, even among business leaders, that needs to be done just in terms of those capabilities, not just in terms of the symptoms that you see at the end, hallucinations, misinformation, but why? Why do we get there? And I'm wondering, you know, what advice that you have now that those tables have turned, now that it's more likely, you know, the CEO is going to bring up, hey, why aren't we, you know, where are we on generative AI? They're going to be driving the conversation. They don't need to be convinced about the destination, but they do need to probably have some conversation about realistically how to get there. And I'm wondering, you know, how have you seen those conversations change, and what advice that you have for especially IT leaders in terms of conducting them and getting them in the right direction?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Matt. I think we are all know now it's 2024, the genie is out of the box in terms of Gen AI, and it's rapidly blasting through the hype cycle faster than any technology innovation before.
Yeah.
I think if I can offer just two suggestions to the leaders, one is around the benefits and risks balancing. The second is around looking through the hype on Gen AI. So first on like a benefits and risks, I know there are a lot of overblown anticipated value as well as overcautious stance in terms of adopting Gen AI. I think both of these stance are stemmed from lack of experience and understanding. I think from a value standpoint, leaders need to set aggressive goals to create the motivational pull for his or her team to start really pushing the envelope of adopting the technology, right? And then the value can be realized through speed, experience, and the cost that can be taken out. And from a risk standpoint, it's really important to have a framework to start safely experimenting and building institutional understanding of Gen AI, because if you're not doing it, it's not Gen AI going to be disrupting your business. It is your peers and competitors harnessing the power of Gen AI will. So it's really important to establish a value realization framework and playbook to really start experimenting with Gen AI balancing the risks and value all the time along the way. That would be my first suggestion. And second suggestion is, I think it is time to look beyond the hype of Gen AI. As we have now rolling into 2024, we have seen pretty much every other day, there's another large language model have made news splash, right? And with that trend, we can all imagine a future where large language models themselves almost will become a utility, where the wrapped around services of the application, as well as you mentioned, Matt, the data will be really central for the company to leveraging Gen AI. We can imagine a world where large language model become electricity, and it will be commonplace, and we can easily get it. But in the end of the day, it's a laptop, the refrigerator, the cell phone, and all these other applications building on top of this Gen AI utility will really be powering the enterprise. I think it's really important for the leaders to think about what if the future with Gen AI become readily available, what that business landscape could shape with the power of Gen AI, and how to prepare the transition between current state technology core foundation to the future state going to be, and start laying out some strategy and roadmaps to prepare to get there.
Absolutely. I think that's a really effective metaphor in terms of utility and in terms of, if I can even, not to get too mixed up in metaphors, but even that LLMs will be like a lifeblood to the organization in terms of its function for all of these, you know, modules and capabilities on top. I think that's a really, really great way of looking at it. I've admittedly, you know, through the course of this interview, been kind of dancing around the cultural aspect, and I really appreciate in your last answers you've gotten right in there and talked about it. But I think every leader knows out there that real leadership is not about when you talk, it's when you don't talk, and when you let somebody else talk, and when you listen. And this is a skill that I'm still working on, admittedly, in my leadership capacities, but especially knowing when not to talk and when to let with somebody else in the team, in the adoption process, really take the reins, I think is instrumental in terms of the difference it can make, really, really making sure that this can succeed. So I'm wondering, in your experience in terms of, you know, IT adoption initiatives, and especially in this new generative AI landscape and infrastructure needs that we need to consider, who typically serves as the catalyst or group of catalysts in leading AI work streams and driving cultural change within organizations, especially where you were talking about in your last answer about how education really needs to not just start at the top, but, you know, really, really get down to the bottom there to every last employee. Is it a single leader, or is this more of a collaboration?
I think it's more of a collaboration. Matt, what we have seen from our clients is our top-down mandate from the C-suite to really empower the executive leaders from the line of the business to partner up with the digital leaders, the IT leaders, to work together on realizing the value of Gen AI. And then I think the partnership also proven to be really successful for quite a few clients we have seen, is the business leaders understanding the art of possible in terms of where in their business they could really use the help of this new innovation. And the digital leaders will be the grounding force in terms of quickly helping the business leaders understand what's possible, what's not possible, or what the current constraints of the technology has, but what is on the roadmap. With these two leaders working together, and also in consulting with the responsible AI leader to making sure there's guardrails to be put into place, we've seen the adoption as well as the broader education as well as the narratives to the broader employee will resonate well, and it will have the far-reaching positive impact for also motivating the workforce to start adopting Gen AI and to their day-to-day work.
Yeah, I think especially on, you know, the cultural side, I don't think there's one person that you can hire for. I think it really needs to be a collective effort, and with really robust and clear frameworks like what you were talking about at the beginning of the episode that are a lot more all-purpose and can cover organizations no matter where they are in their AI adoption, I think we're going to see a lot more people get on board. It's just a very interesting moment. But Stephen, really illuminating episode. episode. Really appreciate the specificity of your answers and really laying out in lists, you know, what people need to look for, what people need to hire for, and how to put it together. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Before we close out today's episode, some points that Stephen brought up that I think deserve some greater spotlight. First, to deliver faster services with minimal friction throughout the delivery lifecycle, focus on scalable, flexible, and industrialized products and services to establish a robust digital foundation for agile operations. Stephen tells our executive audience that it's crucial for management and data science teams to work together intentionally. Intentionally being the key word there. Stephen outlines a four-pillar framework for rapid generative AI adoption that includes, first, establishing a large language model, second, understanding foundational technologies, thirdly, envisioning a platform for genetic innovation, and fourth, and finally, applying generative AI for IT, including understanding and leveraging tools for code conversion. Prompt engineers and other existing roles are in high demand to meet these talent needs. Addressing challenges in upskilling and rescaling existing talent, especially considering biases and security concerns, is a priority for Deloitte, Stephen tells our audience. They approach this through a comprehensive change management strategy, including creating awareness, training curriculum development, and equipping employees with generative AI knowledge and tools. Integrating expert human feedback into AI development is crucial in life sciences, Stephen tells our audience. For more insights, check out the August 31st, 2023 episode of the AI in Business podcast featuring Centaur Labs CEO Eric Duhaime discussing expert feedback challenges in healthcare model development. Stephen elaborates on different roles within a successful digital transformation, including a leader driving broad AI adoption, a role focused on maximizing the value of generic solutions, value tracking, and a generative officer, this most of the time gets called, and a leader responsible for staying updated on rapidly evolving generative AI industry trends. So that's two different leaders, one focused on maximizing the value of generic solutions, and another leader responsible for staying updated on the rapidly evolving generative AI industry trends. Stephen predicts that large language models will become accessible and widely used as electricity in the future, much like other utilities. And in leading AI work streams, Stephen emphasizes the importance of collaboration over a single defined leadership. Effective collaboration, supported by robust frameworks, enables organizations to adopt AI across different stages of adoption. And finally, on behalf of Daniel Fagella, our CEO and head of research, as well as the rest of the team here at Emerge Technology Research, thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll catch you next time on the AI in Business podcast.